We turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Verse 2. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And then verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And that could be translated, has spared not thine only son from me. Second Chronicles chapter 3. The white pages of your Bible. That's an old joke. Second Chronicles chapter 3. Verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father, in the place that David had prepared, in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. And one final passage in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Matthew 16, starting from verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What I have as a thought in my mind is that a connection with a turning point in the life of Abraham, and this turning point in the life of Simon Peter. And there's a strong link here between the two of them. And I think you'll see that this as we just go through this for a few moments. And we see Simon Peter here, the spokesman for the disciples. You know, Simon, he always says what the others are thinking anyway. But sometimes he could be a bit of a loose cannon. But on this occasion, he really spoke for God and for the disciples in response to this question of the Lord Jesus. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say? Men had their opinions. But who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is a wonderful testimony from Simon Peter, and we see that the Lord says, flesh and blood has not taught this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then upon that, the Lord speaks about building the assembly. He would build his assembly, and that the gates of Hades would not prevail against them. We see in this verse 16, and Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, others in the New Testament confessed the Lord Jesus to be the Son of God. You think of Nathanael. He said, you're the King of Israel and the Son of God, or the Son of God and the King of Israel, that you are the Son of God and you are the Messiah, you are the Christ. And I think Mary and Martha said, you are the Son of God. Others said, you are the Son of God. But something unique here that's added in Matthew's Gospel from the lips of Simon Peter, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I believe in this, Peter was taught even beyond his understanding here in this expression. And what this means is that you are the God of life. You are the God of resurrection. That's what it means. The emphasis here is resurrection. That not only is he a divine person, he's the Son of God, not only is he the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed King, but also that death has no power over him, and he will defeat death, he will destroy death, and what he's building, the assembly, what he's about to build, which is yet future, death will have no power over it as well. And that's the meaning of verse 18, where the Lord Jesus said, and I also say unto thee, or that should be better translated, I say also, I'm sorry, I say also unto you is in our translation, but it can also be translated, I also say unto you, and I think that's how the Derby translation has it, that the Father has blessed you and given you this understanding, this revelation that flesh and blood cannot give. But I also, as a divine person, I'm not just adding something to what the Father said, but I am a divine person, and I say this. I'm adding this. That you are Peter. We say Jacob got a new name. Israel. Peter gets a name. A rock. And upon this rock, I will build my assembly, and the gates of Hades, it should be, will not prevail against it. That is the power of Satan through death. You see, that's Satan's power that he has, is the power of death over sinful men, right? Man, through his sin, comes under that judgment of death, and Satan has that power. And we get in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, speaking of the Lord Jesus, that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death and deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject in bondage to him through fear. That is, destroyed the power of the devil, annul his power, the power that he had over men through death. That power is no longer over us, although we may physically die. The church will be raised up at the rapture in that same resurrection life that the Lord Jesus was raised in. And this is the point here. And it's upon this that the Lord will build his assembly. Upon this confession, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Peter. It doesn't mean that the assembly is built upon Peter. The word, of course, is we know, Petra. Or Petros, a rock, a little rock, a chip off the old block, so to speak, off the bigger rock. It's Christ who is the rock. So it's not so much just the confession, but as such, but what is confessed? That is, he's Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what the assembly is built upon. Living stones, 1 Peter chapter 2, living stones coming unto the living stone. And this was revealed to Peter. So we have the fact that he's the God of resurrection. He's the resurrection and the life. And he will die and be raised again. So we think of the death of the Son of God, the fact that he was raised from among the dead. And as I said, Peter goes beyond his own understanding here. It's a divine revelation given to him, because we just see a few verses later what happens when the Lord speaks about his death. In verse 21, he showed the disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And we read in verse 22 that Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And it's very strong there in the original language to seriously warn him